Good morning, everybody. Blessed by the worship and by Tani Sonia's testimony and message. One day when I'm 80, how many? 88? I want to be like that. Amen. Okay. I just want to say right from the beginning that this message is not for you. This message is for all the people that are not here this morning. Okay, so I want you to listen carefully so that you can going to explain it to them. Okay, just a disclaimer just before we start. Amen. Praise God. Okay, that was a joke. Or my attempt at one. At least be nice and presume that you catch it. Okay, wonderful. Praise for our government, Joy Magazine. Okay, what's the time now? What time... are we out of here? It doesn't matter. She said it doesn't matter. And everybody say amen. Come on. Come on, Colin. Jy kan maar bietjie leen slaap as dit te lank raak. Okay. Okay, this morning I want to... it's something that's on my heart. It's something that came out in the prayer meetings and... it's something that I think for about 20 years, ever since we've been in ministry, that it's something that sort of always comes up this time of the year, and it's this thing called holiday. And just how we think about holidays. And the Bible says that our lives will be transformed, how? By the renewing of our minds. In fact, when Jesus says, repent... for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When John the Baptist says that, when Jesus says that, that repenting means change the way that you think. Because if you think differently, you'll most probably speak differently, and you'll most probably act differently. Without repentance, without changing the way that you think, you'll just stay the same. And so this morning, I am trusting the Lord that by the way of the Word of God, that I'm trusting that we will begin to shift our understanding with regards to holiday and rest. Please, don't worry, I'm not the Grinch that will steal Christmas. I'm not going to talk about whether I think Christmas is Christian or not. I'm not going to go there. Someone else will tell you about that. I will not. But I am going to attempt to just maybe shift our minds a little bit with regard to this thing called rest, how we rest, how we see holidays, how we think about them, how we conduct ourselves during them, and hopefully there will be something in that will cause a little bit of a change of mind. It's interesting that the way that we have holidays, the four holidays in South Africa, or the one long holiday, whatever, in whatever sector you work, for us, we've got this understanding that this is the time that we break away as fellow, as families. It's the end of the year, so all of us are a bit tired and weary from the year's work. And so we've got a certain way of thinking about holiday. And it's interesting that the whole notion of people taking a break from work, as in holidays as we know it, is a fairly new thing. The word holidays comes from the word holy days. In other words, from Bible times, where the seven feasts of the Messiah, but also in other cultures and other religions, the people took off from their normal work to keep religious days or holy days. And that's where the word holidays comes from. The English, or the other English words that we translate in Afrikaans, vacation or vakantie, is actually an American word that actually means that you take yourself away from a certain position that you occupied. You vacate that position. Okay, so I'm going to start there. And so I believe in holidays. And everybody say, thank God. Okay, I believe that the Lord... the God that we serve is a God that loves people feasting. Amen. The Lord instituted 7 feasts a year, 7 holy days. In fact, a total of about 20 to 21 days that the Lord, in the Levitical law, said He wants the people to keep these feasts. And these feasts were observances. It was a time that the people had to break away from their normal activity. They were most of them were farmers. They were artisans. They were blacksmiths. They were carpenters. They were fishermen. And the Lord said that 7 times a year, He wants them to take a break from their normal work. So it is biblical, I believe, to take a break from your normal work. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with taking a break. It's what you do with your break. It's how you fill your break, with what you fill your break, because we are all looking for the refreshment and we're all looking for the rest. And when we read the Word of God, it says, and it's been a scripture that came up this morning, it says that times of refreshing, that we should repent or change our minds, we should turn to God so that times of refreshing will come from His presence. So the vacating or the keeping of holidays or holy days is actually, it is a time that we should use to spend time in the presence of God. It's not a vacation. It's not a break away from our spiritual life. Who of you have been there? You know, you're involved in the things of the church and the kingdom, and then December holidays come and you take a break. And some people, and I've seen that many times, some people, they actually take a break from church, which shows me that they don't understand what church is. You might take a break from a meeting, but you cannot take a break from the body. If you are taking a break from the body of Christ, you're having an outer body experience. You are part of the body of Christ. Therefore, you cannot leave the church. Now, you can be church differently, but we must get away from this notion that we are taking a break from everything. The vacations or the 7 feasts of the Messiah that all pointed to Jesus and all pointed to the fulfillment that would be found in Christ were all instituted for the people so that they can take time off their normal activities to come together. It's interesting that the feasts were always in community. It was not scattering from one another, but it's actually gathering together as community, get away from the normality of their breaks. And I mean, maybe that's why camps are so great. Yes, I said it. I said it. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. So, it was a time of lavish abundance. So when the Israelites, when they took a break from their normal activities and they got together as community, there was lavish abundance. There was feasting. And God instituted the feast for the people to be together, to focus upon Him or something about Him so that they can be refreshed. And many times when we think about holidays, it's like taking a break. We're taking a break. We're getting as far away as possible from one another. Thank God we don't have to have home cells, because home cells are like work. I'm speaking to some people here. And somehow we think that we should take a break. We should be taking a break from one another. That is so far removed from a godly view of what a holy day or a holiday is, that I think it's something that we need to recapture. Now, is it unlawful? And because people will ask me now, but Jan, is it now wrong that I go on holiday? Is it wrong that I go and be by myself for 4 weeks on a dune somewhere? Is it wrong? Is it sin? No, it's not. And I think that as New Covenant Christians, we should actually move away from the right and wrong argument. Because as long as we're still focusing on right and wrong, we are still eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We should be asking, what brings life? Because if we eat from the tree of life, what will we have? We will have life. So we should not be asking in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful to me. He says, it's really when I'm not talking about that sin becomes lawful, but you know, normal life and normal decisions, they are lawful. He says, but not all things are profitable. Not all things are conducive towards building up the body of Christ. So we should move, when we think about holiday, we should move away from this thing, oh, is it wrong for me? No. What is conducive to the building up of the body of Christ? Therefore, I want to encourage you, whether you stay at home or whether you go away, and I don't want anybody to feel guilty when you're sitting at Stillby. Please. Feel free, enjoy it, but I really want to strongly encourage you that you seek out. That you seek out people that are camping around you, people that are having holidays around you. Seek them out and ask them, are you? And find out whether they are brothers and sisters in Christ and seek out that fellowship. Seek out that fellowship. Do something that is conducive to the building up of the body of Christ. And you don't have to do that all day long, but just do it sometime. And you know where you'll be going this holiday, if you're going away, there will be people that need Jesus. There will be people that are desperately in need of an encounter with Jesus. And you might be that person that facilitates that encounter. So it's not a question for us as Christians, is it right or is it wrong, you know, to just go off by ourselves? No, it is what is conducive to the building up or the edification of the body of Christ. And we must also remember that, you know, it was such a communal thing in Exodus 12 when the Lord speaks about the Israelites and he says that there's one of the festivals and they had to eat a whole sheep. And everybody said, amen. A whole sheep. And it said, listen, there was a prescription. It says, if your family cannot eat a whole sheep, invite other people. Invite other people. So, I want to encourage you. I believe that this time that we spend time together as families, and even as we go away to spend time as families, I want to encourage you to not make it too isolated in your own family. I know that's messing with some tradition here now, because that is such a South African thing. But I want to say to you that for some people that this is the best family time of the year. For some other people, this is the most lonely time of the year. For some people whose tables are groaning under the amount of food, there are other people that don't have food. And I think that, you know, I just believe if this is a time, and now I'm speaking to the guys that are staying, is that if you are spending time with family, why not just once? Go out and take some of the abundance of the food and the lavishness of the food that you have and share it with some people that don't. Why don't when you spend lavishly on your own family on excursions to go out, that on one of those excursions that you just bless someone that doesn't have anything. Because for some of us, this is the best time of the year. For some of us, this is the worst time of the year. When I worked in the world as a psychologist, I want to tell you that suicide rates this time of the year goes up. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, and I know it's none of you, these are the people that are not here this morning, that are at the sevens. Of course. What did I want to say now? Colin, you derailed my thought. Okay. Okay. Suicide rates go up this time of the year. And it's almost this time of the year that, you know, all the festivals, all the plet rages and all the all the other, you know, when you go to Hartenbos and when you go to any other beach resort, I mean, every party and every carnal and sinful thing that you can think of happens. And it's this time of the year when it seems when the enemy is so busy and the church is on a break. And then we come back in January and we've got to pick up the slack and we've got to pick up, you know, the little lethargy, the little apathy that has crept in because we did not fill our holy days with holy things. Holy days are to be filled with holy things. So I want to encourage you that as you spend time with family, as you spend time with friends, saved or unsaved, make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ, let the testimony of Jesus, what he has done in your life this year, what you believe that he's going to do in 2018, what the Lord is saying to us as a family in 2018, make sure that's part of your conversations. Make sure that it keeps on living, that gratitude for all that he has done stays living in your heart so that when we all come back and we hit 7th of January with a bang, like Enta said, just don't tell Uncle Basi it's a bang because Uncle Basi doesn't believe in big bangs. So when we start 2018, let us start with the momentum. Let we not lose the momentum that God has created through what he has been doing and what he has been saying to us. Let us not lose that momentum and in the beginning of 2018 need to pick up speed again. So I want to, my plea to you, whether you are going away on holy days or whether you are staying in Wellington on holy, very hot holy days, I want to encourage you to fill your holy days with holy things. Because it's sometimes strange that we fill these holy days with the most unholy things. And let that not be said of us that we fill our holy days with profane things. You know, that's a thing that God really had a problem with when the Israelites on holidays or holy days, he says that you profane the holy days of the Lord. Profanity means that you speak and handle holy things lightly. So I want to encourage you to go and tell the people that are not here, because I know you are going to do that, and I know that's why you are here, is that, you know, our holy days should be something that we look forward to. Our times together, can it be that God start changing our minds so that our lives can be transformed, so that we plan our holy days, so that when there's a Sunday or when there's a meeting between Christians, I want to say to you, I don't know, I can vouch for the elders and the deacons of this church that we do not institute days of meetings and meetings in home groups to test your commitment. We do not do that. We schedule those times. It is holy times. It is times that are set aside for the purposes of us together, for the purpose of discipleship, for the purpose of you growing in your relationship with Jesus. It is for the purpose of you exercising the incredible gifts that God has placed inside of you. It is set aside so that there will be places of care. There will be places of encouragement. There will be places of where you'll be able to exercise the gifts that God has placed in your life. So I want to encourage you that as you start, because this is obviously the time of the year, at some stage we think about how the year has gone, and then we rest, and then we think, okay, what's going to happen? What are we planning for next year? And I want to encourage you that as you go away, and as you have contact with other people that are going away, that you would remind yourself and that you remind them to plan your life for holy days. To schedule your life for times set aside. Not for the purpose of to see how faithful you can be and how many meetings you can attend, but that you will set days aside in advance. To, like, say for instance, your small group is on a Thursday, to say, I'm not going to schedule anything else on a Thursday, because Thursday is a holy, Thursday 7 to 9 in our context is a holy time, is a time set aside for the purposes of what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us. Now I know schools, I know programs, I know the busyness of life. I know that. We also had children that went through school. I know that. But I also want to ask you, where is the place that we start teaching our children that the things of the kingdom are more important than the things of the school? I know I'm stepping on toes now. If I'm stepping on your toes, pull back your toes. If I've already stepped on them, we pray for healing afterwards. But these are things that we need to, that as a community of, as a kingdom people, these are things that we need to start thinking. Because I want to tell you that the world just pours us into its mold. The world just pours us into its mold, and we are so compliant to that mold that we don't even think about it. We don't even consider it. We don't even think, hey, wait. And in fact, I feel so strongly about this that I actually want to go to headmasters and ask them, listen, are you guys Christian? And if you are, I want to say, you know, your full school program really makes it difficult for us to disciple. Won't you just, guys, just open up one or two days a week that you never schedule anything because you want to make space for the church that you so appreciate, that you pray for the schools, that you will make time for the people, because the people are burdened down with schedules and programs that they can hardly breathe. And you get on a Wednesday or a Thursday evening, you get to a time of home groups or small groups tired. It's midweek and you are tired. And you've got 10 schedules that you need to fill. And then there's another meeting. Or you get to the end of a really, really hard week or a hard quarter. And then there's a Sunday morning. And I think that we, if we want to say that we are a people that will start thinking differently because of a transformation that's needed in our community, don't you think that we can start thinking that we are actually in control of our own schedules? The world does not control our schedules. If you think, Jan, but you don't understand my situation, you don't work for the company that I work for, I want to say to you, come and speak to us. Come and speak to the elders. I want to say to you that there is a worldwide trend. People are tired. People need more time. Worldwide, there is a trend towards a four-day work week. I know South Africa hasn't even thought about it. Still working 40 hours a week, but instead of 8 a week, a day, working 10 so that you can have an extra day. Who of you would like that? Most people would work 2 hours extra a day if you can get a day off. If you can have a 3-day weekend every weekend. Woohoo! But I mean, some of you are sitting here and like, well, that's not happening ever. Why not? Why not? We are not delivered out to the spirit of this world. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. We can pray for change. We can start scheduling differently. We can say our family time, our holy days are holy. Our holy days are truly holy. We want to take a break from work. We want to get together as a spiritual family. We want to focus on God. We want to have that kind of sacrifice because we know it will pay off in the end. Jan, why are you preaching this at the end of the year? Because most of you are going to take a break. Most of you are going to think, how will I spend next year? Some of you are already thinking, how will I, with the amount of time that I have, the amount of things that I want to do more, the amount of time that my children will require in school, the amount of time that my work and my schedule and my budget will take from me, you're already thinking, how am I going to juggle all of this? Well, most of us do that, right? This is a wonderful time to set out holy days, times of feasting. I just went and did a little bit of research. Most countries in the world, the Lord instituted the feast, the seven feasts, they 20 or 21 days, it depends on how you count the days. Most countries in the world give their employees 20 days. God's kind of clever. God's way ahead of the union movement. God knows we need rest. God instituted rest. God made day and night so that you can work when it's day and sleep when it's night. Your body needs darkness. The world gives us screens that we take into our bedrooms just before we go to sleep, and it messes up our sleeping patterns. You can go and read. God instituted darkness. Your body needs darkness to recover. Your body needs, the darker your room is when you sleep, the better for your body, the better for your the refreshing of your body. Even the natural stuff is geared towards the refreshing of our body. And then the Lord adds, he says, well, times of refreshment. I want to say to you that this time of the year and any time of the year, you don't have to wait for December to recharge your batteries. You don't need to wait for a holy day. You don't need 14 days holiday to be refreshed. Times of refreshing comes from the presence of God. Come on, be honest now. How many times have you felt, man, I'm tired to the bone. I don't want to go to home group tonight, but I'm said I'm going. And then you go, and when you've gone, you come home and you're refreshed. Anybody? Don't worry, we're not taking photos. We won't use this against you. But you know this happens. I want to tell you that I'm not the greatest morning person. It's I really struggle to get up for a prayer meeting. I never wake up, throw the duvet out, dance out of bed. I'm going to prayer meeting. I know a guy that prays before he goes to prayer meeting. I've always wanted to be like Cassie. Who knows Cassie Duplessis? He's in Josh Chen. Cassie, we had prayer meetings at 5:30. Cassie would wake up at 4 to pray for the prayer meeting. So, lay hands on me. But the Bible says that times of refreshing comes from the presence of God. The Lord knew that when we are together, it's difficult to become sort of depressed and self-focused, because at least one in the group will, but let's look at Jesus. At least one will have a testimony. The Word of God says in Colossians 3, verse 16, when we come together, we should address one another in songs. We should encourage one another. We should teach one another. We should encourage and admonish one another. The one another's is so important for us. But we need to realize that they are not church programs. They are holy days. They've been set aside. We are the holy ones, the saints of God. It means that we have been set aside. We are in this world, but we are not from this world. We're living in this system, but we are not bound by this system. We can choose. We can choose to not think and simply let the world pour us into its mold, and we'll automatically take the shape of the world as if it's normal and you can't escape from it and we are victims of it. We really aren't. We really aren't. So we can choose. And I want to encourage us as we start thinking about next year, and as we start thinking about what the Lord has revealed with regard to Sent One and this journey that He's taking the church, I want you to go and ask, if you're part of this house, how will I shape my life? How will I change my schedule Not how will my work determine my schedule, how will the school determine my schedule, but how, in the light of what God wants to do, how will I change my life, rearrange my life, set my life for holy times and holy days? Because I want to tell you, once 2018 hits us, who of you have ever said, you know, phew, last year was rough, next year is going to be rough? Or everybody hopes that next year is going to be less busy than this year. Anybody? Who of you have found it, that it was that way? It's always busier. It's always faster. It always goes quicker. And if we don't take the initiative, not based on power of will or commitment, but based on what God said, we consider what God has said to the household that God has made us a part of. And if God has said He wants to do that, how am I going to schedule my life around that? Instead of having your work life, your children's school life, your any other life, your sport life, your hobby life, and then we'll just see where God fits into that with what I have left. How about giving God first? How about that? I want to say to you, that's worship. That is worship. Worship simply means, the word means to declare the worth of. Declare the worthiness of. If I look at what God is saying, if I look at what God is saying to the spiritual house that God has placed me in, and if I say, God, what am I going to invest time-wise, resource-wise, into discipling, into being discipled, into being discipling a disciple maker, what am I going to do? And I say, God, I'm going to put that time down and that time down, and you know that time I'm going to put down, and that is for you, God. I'm seeking the kingdom and how it pertains to the church and the body that you have placed me with. I'm going to put that down first, and everything else will have to fit in with that. Because we are saying that we're putting God first, right? So let's put God first. Let God be the first thought and not the afterthought of your year planning. That's worship. That's worship. That's say, God, I think you're so great that everything else is not as great. And please hear me in this. I'm not against choirs and whatever children are involved in. But you know what? Wendy and I, we raised our kids, and they sang in the school choirs, and they've got good voices, and unlike me, like their mother. But sometimes when we had church on a Sunday, and my kid had to sing a 5-minute song in the Dutch Reformed Church, and it's not about the Dutch Reformed Church, it's about the school choir, I would tell the school choir, no, we have more important things to do. Not other things. I would tell them, no, we have more important things to do than school choirs. Once again, we'll pray for your toes. We need to teach our children. I'm not saying we should make a rule and they're never allowed to do any school activities. But we need to teach our children that sometimes, and most of the times, in fact, most of the times, that the things of the kingdom is more important than the things of the school. And we're standing in a school hall, you can play to the dead master, I'll go and speak to him. Because we need to teach our children that sometimes they have to say no to the demands of a system and say yes to God. And you know what? My children didn't miss out on anything. They played school sports. They sang in choirs. I don't think they were ever in a musical. And they didn't... Were they in a musical? Who was that? I didn't go. I had more important things to do. My children don't have daddy issues. They love Jesus. They love the church. And we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of church. And they still love the church. So as you go away, and as you take time to determine your priorities, to determine how you will live your life, I want to encourage us that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So I want to encourage us to have holy days, to have holidays, but let us fill our holidays with holy things. Testimonies about Jesus. Here's the thing. I want to encourage some of you. When family come to visit, don't make that an excuse not to come to a Sunday celebration. My mom, the first time my mom came to the church that we led, she ran out just after my dad took a smoke break. It was too long for him. My mom couldn't handle it. She thought she was in hell. But you know what? On a Sunday morning, we said, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. We're going to church. You're going to come with?" "Yes." "Oh, great. You're not? Okay, see you in 2 hours." Put them in front of the TV. Give them the remote if they don't want to come to church. They won't die. But they will see that there's a priority in your life. They will see something that's more important. They will see it. And you know what? They might not like it in the beginning, but in the end, they'll respect it. So if your family comes, invite them to go and eat with another brother and sister in Christ that's in your congregation. They're nice people. I've seen. I wouldn't mind bringing my parents to any of you guys. And sometimes we use that as excuses not to gather. And I'm just wondering, how and why? Now some of you are wishing, "Gee, I wish I stayed away today." But I do want to ask you to contemplate 2018. Some changes. Some holy changes. And I want to ask you that maybe you feel that your home group isn't the most exciting thing to go to. Maybe it's because you're not there. Yes. If you know what it takes to make it exciting, be there and do it. Be the answer to your own complaint and pray. We're not praying enough, so pray. We're not going out, go out. We're not caring for one another, care. Do you love me? I really love you because I really think God wants to do something amazing, but we need to make sure that we, by our actions and our decisions and our priorities, make sure that we communicate to God and to the world and to our children and to the society that we live in. What we're busy doing is really, really, really important, and anything else is secondary. Seek first the kingdom and all its righteousness. Now, I know that you are reaching people at your work, and work is part of your kingdom, and you are sent to your workplace. But you're also sent here. And with the same diligence that you go to work every day, won't you apply the same kind of diligence in holy times, times that have been set aside? Because I do believe that the Lord wants us to feast. But here's the thing about feasts. You've got to be there. Otherwise, you only hear about feastings. Otherwise, you have second-hand language concerning the beauty of the body of Christ. But if you're there, you experience the feasting. Who of you have ever, you know, you've really been tired and you invited people and, "Oh man, I'm so tired, I wish I didn't make the appointment." Anybody? Okay, nobody. Okay, it's just sometimes us. But then we say, "Man, let's do this." And whenever we did, we said, "We're so glad. We're so glad we did." And even those evenings with, "Oh, today I just want to veg in front of the TV, watch another series." And you watch the series and the series leaves you empty. But then you're tired and all of a sudden, hey man, let's invite those people or let's drop in on those people. And you have such a beautiful time of fellowship. And what is the thing that you always say? We should do this more. And then you don't. So I want to encourage us in closing that even if you're staying this week or this holidays, I want to encourage you that we don't need a WhatsApp group. We don't need 7 to 9. We just need a heart. This time is a wonderful time to spend. You've got more time now if you're on holiday and staying. You've got more time now than you ever had the rest of the year. So use that time. Fill it with holy things. Fill it, at least some of it, with brothers and sisters. And seek those out that might not have a family. Seek those out that might be lonely. Seek them out. You know, you've been staring into the face of the same people in your home group the whole year. This is a beautiful time of the year that you can invite people, that you can go and visit people that you don't have the time to go and visit in the rest of the year. This is a wonderful time. This is such a beautiful time that we don't always have 2 hours to pray, but now you have. You maybe don't have time to really read the Bible because you're so busy, busy, busy. Now it's this wonderful time to spend, to fill your holy days with holy things so that we get back refreshed. Jesus said, is any of you, if you are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Come to me. We think it's the bed calling us. No, it's Jesus calling us. We think it's more TV that's calling us. We think it's the sport that's calling us. It's not. It's Jesus. It's Jesus calling us. It's Jesus. Who will renew their strength? It says, who of you are tired? You're allowed to be tired. You don't have to be the Christian that said, oh, I'm not really tired. I'm not tired. No, you can say that you are tired, but because the word says that even the young men get weary and faint. But those that sleep upon their beds will renew their strength. No. Those that watch endless TV programs will renew their strength. Those that go on long, luxurious cycle rides will renew their strength. That's not me. No, it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to say to you, the best thing that you can do in a holy day, is spend time with a holy God and spend time with holy ones, with brothers and sisters, and encourage one another, testify on what the Lord has done, start praying what the Lord wants to do. Start committing, man, this is what I'm sensing the Lord wants me to invest. This is what I'm planning to do this year. This is what I'm really trusting the Lord. Won't you pray with me? These are wonderful times of fellowship. These are wonderful times of not just talking about the weather. This is wonderful times of talking about the Lord. That shows that we understand holidays. Holy days. Taking a break from our normal work. Gathering. Focus on God. Lavish abundance. Make sure that you share your lavish abundance. If your family cannot eat a whole sheep, invite someone else. If you have more food than you can handle, and I want to tell you that I know here in Wellington and I know at many seaside resorts on the 24th, people are on the 24th, the tables are going to groan. On the 26th, the people are going to groan because their stomachs are full. And then at 11 o'clock on the 26th, they're going to be hungry again. And they're going to vow by the 28th that they're never going to eat again. But they will. So make sure that our lavish abundance is shared with those that have lack. Let us not make it, you know what, this is our time. No. This is still God's time. Your life is not God's from January till the 11th of December. Your life is God's. Make sure that it reflects the heart of God. And let our holidays truly be holy days. And I want to say to you, if you spend time in the presence of God, if you spend time focusing on God, if you spend time thanking God, if you spend time with the people of God that you can encourage and be encouraged by, I want to tell, one thing is going to happen. You're going to come back refreshed. If God's not a liar. If God's word is true, you'll come back refreshed. Those of you that wait upon the Lord, instead of waiting upon some other thing, I want to tell you, as you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. What's going to come? Joy. Joy is going to come. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God of the feast. I thank you, Lord, that you're so delighted in your people enjoying one another, enjoying abundance, sharing with one another, focusing upon you, that you instituted feasts for them to keep every year. And not just one day, 20 days, 3 times a year. You blocked our times. I've got to get my people away from their normal work. I've got to get them together. I want them to feast, and I want them to focus upon me, and I want them to know that kind of sacrifice. I want them to look forward to these times of feasts. Father, I pray that you would put in the heart of your church a feasting mindset. Truly, Lord, that we would be able to enjoy one another, that we would be able to enjoy the fellowship with one another, that we would be able to enjoy the break from work, but that we would also, that we would enjoy the focus and the unhurried focus and intimacy with you, Jesus. That we'll be able to do that because of holy days. Father, I pray that we will not go on vacations where we take a break, that we vacate our position as the church in Wellington, that we vacate our position as your ambassadors in the earth, that we will not vacate that position and leave it empty until the 7th of January. Father, I pray that we will keep on filling that. We would keep on filling that. We would keep on filling that. We would ask you for fresh revelations of what you desire and require of us, God. I pray, God, that we would truly in our planning, in our positioning for the year, in our vision for the year, that we would place you front and center and say, kingdom first, kingdom first, kingdom first, kingdom first. And I thank you, Lord, that you've connected your church and your kingdom so vitally together that they almost go hand in hand. I pray, God, that you'll help us with decisions, that as we say yes to some things, we'll have to say no to other things, God. I pray, God, that you'll set us free from the fear of man. I pray, God, that you'll set us free from the spirit of this world that so easily pours us into its mold, God, that so quickly causes us to make decisions without even contemplating whether it really aligns with your kingdom, God. I pray for the grace, and I pray for the courage to make that kind of decisions, God. Father, I just want to really thank you for this house. I thank you, Lord, for this household. I thank you, Lord, for the sense of family that is here. I thank you, Lord, for the plans and the purposes and the vision that you have for us into the future, God. And I thank you, Lord, for where you brought us to and what you brought us through, God. And in that, we have such a wealth of testimonies. Father, I pray that Wellington will still feel the effects of Shofar Church, even though it seemed like our town is empty. Father, I pray that we'll still see people praying for people on the streets. Father, I pray that we will not take a break from reaching out, God. I pray, Lord, that we will not take a break from being kind to one another, from praying for one another, from worshiping together, God. I pray, God, that in the camping sites and the seaside resorts, God, that it won't just be the music of the world that blares out, God, but it will be worship and prayer. And we will not be ashamed of this gospel, because it still is the power of salvation for those who believe. How will they believe if they have not heard? How will they hear
if there's no one to preach? And how will they preach if they don't have a message? And how will they have a message if they are not sent? Father, I pray, whether we stay or whether we go, we will live as sent ones, knowing that this is a beautiful opportunity for us to spread the gospel, to spread the gospel, to spread the gospel to people that really, really, really need you, Jesus. Even more so in this time. I pray, God, that you'll bring us out into an open space, a spacious life, that we will not live our lives small. We will open up our hearts. We will open up our tables. We will open up our kitchen cupboards. We will open up our abundance. We will open up, yes, even our bank accounts, God, to bless others, to make sure that we are blessed and we understand that we are blessed to be a blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Entas.